Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you that the sun is shining. We thank you that we were able to get out of our beds no matter what and come to the house of worship. We thank you for sense enough to come to the house of worship. We thank you for all the benefits that you have given to us down through the years, Father. We thank you for the land of America where we can still have freedom of worship. And while we still have some time left before those things are invaded, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, because we are standing at an appointed hour, that you're going to pour out your spirit in the church of Jesus Christ like never before. We thank you that you're making inroads now, and you're going to break through the stony places. And the places of government shall know that the people of God have the answer. This is a thing that we know today in the mighty name of Jesus. So I take authority that you have given to us, that you took back for us on Calvary and made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we take that authority all over this auditorium today, and we say, Satan, you are bound. And every way that you come to hinder the word of God, to hinder the purposes and the plans and the pursuits of our Savior for every city on the face of the map. And God, while we are here, help us to assist your church with what you are doing here in the city of Baltimore and the surrounding towns in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would touch hearts, save, heal those that are sick and oppressed, and especially those that are down in their spirits and feel like they have no hope. We ask that you would send forth hope today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Clap your hands and let's give God some praise. You may be seated. Amen. What an honor it is to stand here before you this morning. Okay, what are we doing here, Cheryl? Okay, we got it. I am so full, I'm a mixed bag of emotions this morning. Yesterday was one of the happiest days of my life. And to see my son and our new daughter become wed and to become one, amen. We were happy, weren't we, Ellis Smith and Sister Smith? Yes, we were. It was such a beautiful, beautiful affair. I've been excited about it for months and months and months anticipating it and looking at the website and so many days and so many more days. And so it was absolutely beautiful. We had a ball. I had a ball. I wore myself out, completely out. Amen. We came in and just had fun. And I thought it was so beautiful because for the majority of my life, I'll say maybe the last 2 years of my life, I was a hardline Pentecostal. Only the Pentecostals know what I'm talking about. And then the Lord just, you know, gave me to see. God never changes, but he changes his methods. And just sat down and had a good time yesterday. Got out on the floor. You know, they think all black people have rhythm. I have none. Absolutely none. But I had to keep up with Elder Smith's, his mother. God bless her. I told her, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like her. And she tore the dance floor up, going and coming. And to, you know, it was so beautiful to see them wed. And I knew David was going to cry. I told him, I said, you're going to cry. He has the strength of his father and the calmness of his father, but he has the sensitivity of his mother. And so I think it's beautiful when a man can express their emotions. That I do. I think it's absolutely beautiful and what have you. So Elder Smith, Sister Smith, she's well protected. If anything come near her, he'll kill it. Trust me. He will kill it. All right. We give honor to the presence of the Lord and certainly to the pastor of this house and his beautiful first lady, our baby girl, Anita Phillips, and Pastor Michael Phillips. That's a good place to clap your hands. Amen. And my lovely grandchildren, and certainly to all the elders of this assembly, God bless you. Praise and worship singers, as usual, you are just dynamite. And to the band, amen. To the band, to all of the people of God. And certainly to my own beloved pastor and husband, Dr. David C. Graham. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. I'm still running high on energy because I'm just so happy. As my husband expressed so much about history yesterday and how things work, and how would I ever know that you were, and you're a beautiful people. You are absolutely beautiful, loving, kind, hospitable people. And it is always a pleasure to come in the midst of you. I was thinking about Anita when she was a little girl. She has a brilliant mind. She always has had a brilliant mind. She was somewhere less than 3 months old when we found out that she had excellent motor skills. And I was playing with her, and I offered her something. And she caught the gist of it, and she took it in her little hand. And I said, give it back to Mommy. And she put it out like that. And when I put my hand to it, she would snatch it back. So at first, I thought it was an accident. But then I kept doing it, and she kept snatching it back and just giggling and laughing. I said, this child actually knows what she's doing. And one of my earliest memories of her is sitting on the floor, and she was doing a math problem. She was very small, and she was talking to herself, and she said, I do not understand why I do not understand this. It's been like that all the time. Amen. And so we thank God. She's very gifted and talented in the way the Lord has given her an ability to see into the word of God scientifically. You are indeed blessed. And Pastor Michael Phillips, good God, we have no words for him. Absolutely. Pastor Michael Phillips, and I must share this with you before I go into the message this morning. A number of years ago, when little tall Mike was a toddler, he had to be somewhere less than, that's a big kid, okay? 6'4". I'm so proud of him. Made the Honor Society this week. That's awesome. Just awesome. And Olivia, how wonderful she danced. And she's a smart little girl, beautiful, graceful, and she has my sensitivity. Amen. So, yeah. They got something from somebody else, but I know what they got from me. But anyway, when little Mike was a toddler and just walking around, the Lord gave me a dream concerning, I'm a dreamer. God speaks to me in dreams. I don't dream that frequently, but when I do, it comes directly from God at a certain time in the morning. And in the early morning hours, I saw him, and he was in this, we were at this valley. It looks like something like in Kauai, it's called Waimea Canyon, but it might be, the only way I can describe, it wouldn't be like the Grand Canyon here because the greenery and the vegetation, it wasn't a desert place or a rocky place. The colors were actually surreal, just otherworld. The only other time I've seen that kind of description and just design was when the Lord took me out of my body, and then he put me back in my body because it wasn't my time to go. But the sky took on a new look. Every cloud, you know, it was just so etched and everything. But in this dream, I saw this huge, huge valley, vast valley in front of me. And Pastor Michael and little Michael, he was holding his hand next to him by his right hand. And I'm looking at the waterfalls coming all down and all this beautiful vegetation and everything. And all at once, Pastor Mike, he didn't see me. I'm observing. He took little Mike by the hand and started walking down in that valley. And I ran over to the edge to see him, but I couldn't. He was gone. They both were gone. And then I'm looking all around, and all at once, this huge panoramic screen came up over the top of the mountains and just hung free in the air, just hung free. And when it did, that's where I saw Pastor Michael Phillips come up on that screen. I didn't see little Michael, but what the dream told me was that it is a generational blessing. It's a generational calling that he's walking in it from his father, and little Michael will one day walk in it also. And Olivia will have her part also, too. But when he came up on that screen, when he started to preach, it came out like thunder. Not like thunder, it did. It was the sound of thunder. And it was so powerful and so large, and lightning came out. And every time he opened his mouth, that just went all over the airways. And I woke up, and I knew immediately that that was the level of ministry that God has placed in this young man. You don't have any clue what you have among you. I have no clue. And so while you are listening to the instructions and things of that nature, take it seriously because, and I know that you do, because he really has. God said to one of our members at our church this week, who really knows nothing about him, and I don't talk to her. I mean, she's a wonderful person. And the Lord gave her a dream. She's a dreamer, just like me. And he said, I called him to the nation. Amen. Let's give God praise for that. Let's give God praise for that. Hallelujah. We thank him and we thank him. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And briefly, I'm going to come from here and share with you. 2 Chronicles 20. All right. We're going to start in the first verse. When you get it, say amen. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side of Syria. And behold, they are in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gaveth it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Now we're going to skip down to the 17th verse. And it says here in the 16th verse, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziph. Down to the 17th verse. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. I want to share with you this morning, and I like to call it this way, you're going to be paid. You're going to be paid. My husband and I have had a lot of trials and tribulations, and anybody that walks with the Lord and walks closely with the Lord will have many trials and tribulations. The Bible tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver us from them all. In the beginning, they were indeed trials and tribulations because I didn't know God like I know God now. When you hit a certain place in God, what would have blown you over at one time does not mean anything to you at all. Because you are so secure in serving the Lord. You're so secure in the fact that we walk in covenant relationship with the Lord God Almighty. I remember, I think about it often. There's not a month that I don't think about it. I can't say I had the faith for it when it happened to me, but through it, because of the Word of God, and I have been prompted and got into a study and started studying about the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And so for about a month, I had just been running through my Bible, looking up scriptures about the blood of Jesus. And it was so deep down in my spirit, man, when I went to the mall, and I've shared this with you before, and three young men snatched my purse, just came by, drove past me, arm went out the window, snatched the bag off of my shoulder. And normally I put it around my neck and over, you know, one arm. And I'm so grateful to God that that day I just hung it on my shoulder, kept my cell phone in my hand. Because a couple of months after that, a young college student girl out in Arizona was accosted in the parking lot of a shopping center. And they grabbed it, and she had it around her neck and shoulder and was drug up underneath the car and killed. Even the times when God does not tell you, hang it just on your shoulder or just turn to the right. Have you ever just approached a corner and you had the right of way, but the Lord just something inside of you stopped that car and somebody just shot right straight through the stop sign. But God is the one that leads us and guides us because he tells us that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. So I want you to understand that God is in control even when it does not appear to be. He's always in control. But I also had to learn that God's thoughts are not my thoughts. Neither his ways my ways, for his thoughts are as high as the heavens above my ways. And so you come into a place as you begin to mature in the Lord and grow in the Lord year after year. I'm sorry that it takes a lifetime to really get wisdom. I would really love to have had this when I was 30 and 40 and 50. But I'm just coming into some sense I didn't know was available to people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah, I hear you, my sister. And so, I looked at that, and when they snatched that pocketbook off my shoulder, and I had my $513, my credit cards, my debit card, my Social Security card, which you don't run around with all that stuff in your pocketbook, and things. I had all my identification. They could have ruined me for life. And all I did was turn, my head just turned to the left a little bit, and I got a picture vision of every one of those young men that was in the car and was able to describe it. And so when they went away, the first thing came out of my mouth, I said, oh my God, that's the only human thing I said. The next thing I said was the blood of Jesus. And I began to plead the blood, watching them speed away in the parking lot. Then I start sending them confusion. I said, I send you the confusion of Ahithophel. Hallelujah. Be confused in the name of Jesus. Then I thought about it, because everything is that we have is made by God. Hallelujah. So I spoke to it. God spoke to everything that he created on the planet Earth. And I said, pocketbook, come back to me in the name of Jesus. That was at 3 o'clock when they snatched my bag. At 3:30, the cop came driving up, and he had a brown paper bag, and the other police officer was standing there with me, and he said, Miss, he tapped me on the shoulder. He had to get my attention because I was walking back and forth saying, Yeralo, shanda, ekirarabahaha. Pocketbook come back to me. My eyes are closed. I'm seeing my pocketbook come back to me. And I yelled out to the top of my lungs, I'm legal, because I didn't have time to say, I give tithes and I give offerings. I just simply summed it up by saying, I'm legal. And you can speak to the thing that is assaulting you and trying to take your money and mess up your business. and you holler it out, everybody that's a tithe and a giver, say, I'm legal. Now give God praise. Woo! Hallelujah. I yelled that thing out. Cops tapped me on my shoulder. I stopped and looked at him like, why you bother me? I'm on a mission. He said, we think we got your pocketbook. You don't stop praying about something till you get it in your hand. I didn't see no pocketbook. I only saw a brown paper bag. So I said, pocketbook, come back to me. And praise God, at 3:45, they caught the guys. I guess the cop didn't know what to do with me because I was so busy speaking in tongues and speaking words that he didn't have no understanding about. At 3:45, when the night shift was coming on duty at 3:30, and the day shift was going off duty at 3 o'clock, all the police cars were in the area. So about 15 police cars came down on them, got so confused, those three guys, until they rolled around in the mall and didn't have sense to leave. For 45 minutes, this is a true story. It's in the paper up by me. They ran around in the mall just driving, you know what I'm saying. And listen, they said when they finally got the admission from one of the guys that they were looking for an easy target, but they didn't know who I belonged to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got a Father in heaven. You got God in heaven. You got the Holy Spirit in you. And you have ministering angels that are assigned to those that inherit salvation. And whether you see it or not, you got a whole slew of angels. This room is packed. They're sitting on the roof. They all out there in the parking lot. They all up and down the street. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are, look at your neighbor and tell them you ain't never by yourself. No, 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 you are not. And so God had all of them there. And what made the cops all be at this exit, or entrance and exit at the same time? And they came out and were stopped immediately. I told the detective exactly how much money I had in my purse. I told him, you're going to get so many 50s, so many 20s, so many. You know, I knew what I had because I had saved it like that. And when the cop came back and he said, I said, did you find any money? He said, no, we didn't find it. He said, but I'm going to search the car. He went in and they had a bag, a box of donuts. And they lifted up the paper underneath the donuts. And there was $513. Nobody like God. Nobody like God. And when the Lord allows the enemy to touch you, he already knows what he has placed on the inside of you. He knows that you got the goods to defeat him. But you got to find out that you got the goods to defeat him. Hallelujah. And so, as a result of it, what I got paid for was they put me in the victim's advocacy board. And so anytime they had a group of first offenders, they would call me in to talk to them. Well, nobody told me I couldn't talk about Jesus. So I would preach that God can get you out of that addiction, that God can solve your problem. I tell you, it's all right. But you got some kind of team here working for you at this church. Truly, you have some kind of a team. Now, let me get into this because I don't want to be long. All right. All right. One more thing, though. I got a telephone call. I particularly love Elder Jay or Minister Jay. I don't know which one it is. Elder Jay and his wife. And they told me that they shot at his car somewhere around in the neighborhood, right? And when I heard that, I went to praying just like it had just happened. I'm like, what's wrong with you? God done already delivered his man and his wife. But that's why the bullet don't hit you. Amen. That's what happens. When you get on a plane You get in there and you sit down and look and smile at everybody on the plane, because they don't know that you're the reason that plane gonna stay up, because you on it. All right. In this story, it is such an awesome story, because a leader can delegate anything except responsibility. Leaders simply cannot give it away. They can model it, they can teach it, and they can share it. But the word of responsibility that's given to a leader cannot be delegated to another person, not the authority that that leader has. And I say that, and the reason God uses me in this capacity, because my father was a pastor and my husband is a pastor. And so it put a great love inside of me and a sensitivity towards God's church and God's leaders. And so in this endeavor that you are embarking upon, as Pastor Michael spoke about, filling an auditorium or stadium, whatever it is, that in this June, and bringing people together. And it is necessary, because as I looked at the news last night and saw the demonstrations and what have you, and all of them have been peaceful until I think the latter part. And then it's what the Bible calls a spirit of riot. And that spirit of riot rose up. But because you are praying in this city, it didn't get to do what it wanted to do. And they show you pictures of a young man throwing away a garbage can that is on fire. It is not the way of violence. Because when you tear up the stores in your neighborhood, then where you gonna shop? And I know from experience living in Newark, in the great riots that happened in the 60s, when they got finished tearing up those streets and stores, many of them have never been restored. And then when they are restored 20 and 30 years down the road, they tear them all out and put in high-income places to live. And our people are dispersed to the four corners of our states. And so I believe that God has given your house an assignment. And so now, when I look in the story with Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat has much favor with God. There is a season in your life, and it only comes once, that God can use you with the strength you have as a young person. When you get to be a senior, where my husband and I are, we used our strength in our youth. We still use strength, but we don't have that vitality and that endless energy that we had when we were in our 30s and 40s and early 50s, and 50s really. Because now you have to recognize the season that you're living in. And even those of you that are here that are seniors like ourselves, God called you with experience, and he also called you to pray the vision that God places in that leader's heart, to pray that thing through. And so now Jehoshaphat is going in the prime of his youth and his strength and his energy. His father has trained him how to be a king for 3 years before he dies. He brings revival to Judah, puts the priests in positions, and starts a reformation and sets the place in order as it should be. And now he comes and God gives him such favor in the land until all of the nations around him feared and respected him. They brought him much gift and much silver and gold. And God is going to do that and is doing that in this house right now. One of the things that I notice about this ministry, it has an anointing for young men to change them from the ways of the world and bring them up in salvation and to give them a second chance. I know to get a record is hard, and there will be many places that will not hire you. But if you are consistent with God, if you follow the teachings of the Word of God, if you are there in faith for the prophetic proclamations that God will set over the house, God is a God that can give you unusual favor. Unusual favor. So that there will not be a door that stands before you that will not have to open because of the unusual favor. Let me hear you say, I have unusual favor. Amen, amen. And so Jehoshaphat is trained and he eschews evil from in the places of his dominion. But then the enemy is always lurking, waiting to find a place to take you down. And I trained that, talked to that with the ministers in our house for those that feel that they are called to preach the gospel and teach the gospel, whatever capacity in the fivefold gifts that God has called them in. And I see their enthusiasm and things of that nature. But I've been out here for 36 years, flying from place to place and traveling from church to church and from one country to the next, an island to the next. And I've seen the deceptions of Satan. As soon as he sees the gift that God has placed in you and sees you begin to go forth in that gift, he's already set a trap to destroy you. He knows how to get in and cause the gift that God has placed in you. In other words, he knows how to kill out your destiny. And you have to be wise not to allow the devil to kill out your destiny. And so now, part of the reason that Jehoshaphat is in the dilemma that he is in the 20th chapter is because there has been some slight compromise. And so Jehoshaphat, the one that's Ahab, which was a straight up sinner that was supposed to know the Lord, married to Jezebel. Her father was the head of Baal worship. And so what he does here, he talks to him, I'm a Jew, you're a Jew, and they married their children together. Well, that was done in biblical times and is still done in European countries to strengthen that country by uniting children of the leadership families with other children of leadership families. But God did not call for that. You cannot take the ways of the world and bind them to the things of God. I have not always and probably never will understand all the things that God spoke to my husband to do. Many times, I literally in the beginning years, when we go back 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I think it was about 37 years ago, when he was sent there, I go wherever he goes, okay? And so when we got there and I saw this place and I'm like, oh my God, Jesus, help me, Lord, let me out of here. And I wanted to go back to my spacious, comfortable church that had just been built. But I knew I was never going to leave him there. And the Lord would speak to him and tell him things to do. And because I'm really a security conscious and I'm good with the dollar, I would look at him like, are you sure about that? But see, God does not wait until you have enough money to do what you want to do that he has called you to do. And I've watched the process down through the years with your pastor and the first lady of this church leading this congregation. And the things that look like they would have materialized, and I even questioned it myself. I didn't doubt it, but I questioned it. Many years ago, I came here one Sunday to preach, and the Lord showed me a building. And I saw this building is out back to the side over here, so I'm not good with directions, but I knew it wasn't just right there. And I saw this building that was totally built, because I remember asking Leo to get me a shovel. Are you here, Leo? I saw you somewhere. Yeah, there you are. I see you, babe. I asked you to get me a shovel. And I told Pastor Michael to act as though he was digging the first scoop of dust. That was years ago. It might have been 18 years ago, 15 years ago. But I saw a completed building with many windows, with a lot of outside light, and offices all around, and the sanctuary was in the center but it was a high dome. The building has always been complete in God. You and I are going to come to see it, but in God, it is complete. Your healing is complete. Your deliverance is complete. Your children's salvation is complete. The wiping out of poverty in your life has already been done. It's just in the spirit realm. Over the last 2 weeks, we hit an almost insurmountable obstacle. On the Sunday, I think it was the third Sunday, I'm not sure, the second Sunday in April, our daughter, Valerie, that was at the wedding yesterday, we got a telephone call at service. We had to leave out of church and drive to Philadelphia. She was in the hospital. She didn't know who we were. She didn't know who her husband was. She saw her son for about 1, 2, 3. And she mumbled, baby. That's all she could say. She couldn't speak. She couldn't talk. She couldn't move. She couldn't lift her hands. At first, they said she had a stroke. They were looking to see if she had a stroke. And she stayed like that for 8 days in the hospital, Hinneman Hospital in Pennsylvania. We prayed, we cried. I looked in her face and I said, oh my God, she gonna go with the first 3 days. And then they ruled out everything. They still don't really know what happened. But 8 days later, she woke up, started talking, and asked to get up out of the bed. And yesterday, she was at her brother's wedding. That was completed. Now get what I'm saying to you. That was already done before the devil did it to her. Our life and our times are in the hand of the Lord. And so if you can just get your faith to that place, and you walk around and you say, big faith, big faith, big faith, great faith. I have great faith. I talk that to myself all the time. And so I want to bring out a couple of points here. What steps did Jehoshaphat take? He fought his fears. From a verse around 3, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He fought his fears. Jehoshaphat was terrified. Well, how did it get to that? The next thing, Ahab talked Jehoshaphat in to coming to fight with him. But God's plan was to wipe out Ahab. And so God had allowed the enemy to come on Ahab. He hadn't called the enemy on Jehoshaphat. And so he went to him again. You're a Jew and I am a Jew. We are brothers. And so Jehoshaphat went along with it. A leader cannot go along with what anybody thinks. There are going to be times in the process of you moving from here to that new place and all of the campus that's going to be around it. And because of your understanding and your experience and some being older than he is, will say, Pastor, I think you ought to do this. It's not that a leader doesn't take advice, but a leader cannot move until he hears from God. And I want you to keep that thing in mind, that it is not that he does not care about what you think. All the time that you're talking, he's listening to see what God is going to say. My husband would jump up out of the bed. One morning he did it specifically. He literally leaped out of bed and stood in the middle of our floor. He was sleeping with his arm around me and his face was right here on my face. And he jumped up and said, I said, baby, what's the matter? What's going on? Something wrong? He said, God told me to go buy that land next door to our church. His arm was here and his face was right here. God knows I can hear from God. But I did not hear what the Lord told that man. Oh, I can hear from God. When the Lord allows, I can hear a person's thoughts. doesn't happen often, but all of a sudden I can hear a person's thought and it be way over there. How come I didn't hear that? Because I am not the senior pastor. And you must come to the place where you trust him. Even the wife is not given the privilege to hear what the person that is leading that church hears. And so, Jehoshaphat, now we can give you good advice as wives, amen. But you got to still hear what God is saying. Jehoshaphat went along with Ahab. Ahab was a total hypocrite. He wouldn't dress in his kingly garb. He dressed like a commoner. And Jehoshaphat came out as a king. Because that's what we are. We are, when Jesus said he is Lord of lords, well, where do you think we fit? God looks at us the same way he looks at Jesus. You are lords in God's eyesight also. And so Jehoshaphat was there, and King Ahab was hoping that the arrow would hit him. And he stayed in the back. But I want you to know that God knows exactly where you are. An arrow somehow came through all of that and struck Ahab, and he was killed. And Jehoshaphat remained alive. But now, because of the compromise, God has to teach Jehoshaphat a lesson. And he also wants to bring him up in faith also. And so Jehoshaphat has to face his fears. He was terrified, and he didn't let it paralyze him. He stayed calm enough to think. And every one of us, when something happens, you cannot allow yourself to go to pieces. You have to grab a hold of yourself and say, God, what do I do at this point? And let me tell you, the best thing you can do when you don't know what to do, and even if you know what to do, you have to come to a position where you say, God, I praise you. God, I glorify you. I give you all the praise. And that's what it meant when I read you that verse where it said, take your position. He sought the Lord in verses 6 through 13. He called all of the people together, and he called a fast, and he proclaimed and got down on his knees and began to intercede before the Lord. He brought in synergy. He put everybody in the same place, the men, the women, and the children, and began to cry out to God. He didn't act alone, but gathered the people to inform them of the issue. And so when the time comes that God will have Pastor Michael call all the people together, or have First Lady call the women of God, the Bible says call for the mourning women, call for the praying women, and they come together and begin to weep before the altar, because that's how that building is going to be built. That's how a takeover of this city. And I hear the Lord saying this in my ear right now. Many have been in the position of authority and had the attention of those in authority, but they didn't live up to the standards, and confidence was lost. And then also the things of this world blinded them. When God gives you favor, he gives you things. Did you hear what I'm saying? Things should not, you should own them. They should not own you. When you are saved, amen, God's going to bless you with things. You'll never have to pay for things what other people pay for. God, if he don't give it to you, he'll give it to you almost free. And so, because people compromise and the confidence was lost, there is a new platform being opened for you. And I'm talking about this house. And those that will hear the voice of the Lord as you step out to do what God wants done at this particular time. Because you think you have seen evil. You think you have seen crime. None of us have seen what is coming on the face of the earth now. People have no regard for human life. Whatever they did to that young man, they must have broke his neck and snapped his spine. Because in the news reports, thank God for cameras on our phones, as they drug him, to hear that young man groaning and crying because of the pain that he was in. And then to see him, you don't fall off of a seat just because you didn't have on a belt and get that kind of injury. There is a war from hell against the streets, and it's coming from people that are in authority. And if y'all don't pray that thing down in your city, and we pray it down in our city, after a while, it's going to be an absolute revolution in the streets that we live in. And many of our sons and daughters will die. And so this door has been opened. And you, Pastor Michael, and you and what God has given you to do, you'll have to go through it swiftly, because it is, it's what I hear, is only open for a short time. For a season, this door is open. And so one of the ways the devil comes to hinder the vision and plan of God is he'll create a storm in every one of your lives. You'll have things start going wrong in your life that have never gone wrong. And all of a sudden, you can't think to pray for the church, pray for the leadership, pray for the family of the pastor, because you are so inundated with the attacks of Satan. And so I say to you, shake it off. Shake it off. Everybody stand up. I'm running out of energy. But I have to get this point across. It might be finances. It might be sickness in your body. It might be your children. The God we serve has given us a promise for every single thing that is fighting you. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we're going to go into some intercession. Ay, 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 ay. We're going to pray for a few moments. Now, you are not a loss for a word from the Lord. And when I was here the fifth Sunday night, and everybody, I think the elder here, had you all make signs about, what was that theme that you were preaching on? The devil is a liar. All day long, all week long, and all day on Sunday too. The devil is a liar. You will be healed. You will be delivered. The marriage will be saved. The children will be saved. Your finances will increase. Your debts will be... What is cancer? It ain't nothing but a word. What is debt? It ain't nothing but a word. What is depression? It's nothing but a word. Now, symbolically, the first thing I want you to do is shake yourself. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Satan, get off me. Get off everything that's mine. Get off my family. Get off my children. Get off my money. Get off my body. Get off. Get off my city. Get off my bloodline. Get off. Now listen to see. All right, those of you that hope the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Praise and worship people, come on. Musicians, come on. Pastor Michael, First Lady, come up here. Pastor Graham, come up here. Ay-ya-ya-ya-ya. The elders, stand across the front. Hallelujah. The elders, come to the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, everything the devil is coming against the church of Jesus Christ with, for this hour that you have opened for this house, kingdom life, that the vision might be fulfilled, we pray now and call it into existence in the name of Jesus. The vision is already worked out. We call it out of the spirit realm, down into our realm, in the name of Jesus. Walk the floor. Take authority over the powers of darkness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, you are a liar. The blood of Jesus is against you. In the name of Jesus.